Let's read from chapter 15, beginning at verse 13 and 14. But he answered and said, the Lord is talking, of course, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. How silly it would be to send a blind man to guide a blind man. How silly it would be to have a blind man guiding us. Where would we go? What would we do? But if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch together. And then listen to God's word from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Paul speaking to the young preacher. He said, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Listen to this prophecy. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust will they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, looking for someone to teach what they want to hear. Now, if you haven't met a Jehovah's Witness, sooner or later you will. You say, well, how do you know for sure? Because they're going to come to your door, and they're going to knock on your door, and they're going to tell you. Now, when the Mormon gentlemen come to the door and knock on your door, they're not up front. They're not going to tell you that they believe in many gods, or that Jesus had a wife on earth and fathered children, or those kind of things. You'd have to be around them and in the Mormon church a long time before they would tell you that. Not so with the Jehovah's Witness. They're going to tell you right up front that whatever religion you have, it's wrong. Theirs is the only one that's right. You say, why would anybody go out door to door, day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year? Because they believe they're right. They believe they're the only people on earth that's right. And the only people that will be saved are the people who go with their definition of what is right. That's a powerful influence. Would to God that we felt so much impetus. Because they go out with that idea in mind. So we ask ourselves, who are the Jehovah's Witnesses? What are the Jehovah's Witnesses? Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses are the members of the Watchtower Society. Their greatest thing is to hand you a copy of the Watchtower magazine. They'll get you to pay for it if you will, but if you won't, they'll leave it with you. And the idea is that you'll read it and get into it. If you're going to a Jehovah's Witness service, their churches are called Kingdom Hall. There's one at Narrows. Used to be one right there about where Burger King is. Well, no, it became Posoffice's Beer Joint, to tell you the truth. But when it was first built, it looked like a castle. It was made to look like a castle. And they call their places Kingdom Hall. If you're going to be entertained in the service, that's the wrong place to go. They will never sing a hymn that you know. I have a Jehovah's Witness hymn book in my business because sometimes we have a service and the pianist would not know or the organist would not know any hymn they have in the book. They have to read the music and play it. Boring. It don't sound like In the City Where the Lamb is the Light. It don't sound like even Walk Around Me, Jesus, or anything. They're dry, 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 dead, dead, dead. Just sad music, really, it is. And if you're going to be entertained or energized by the sermon, forget it. It's a dry lecture every time. Even a funeral is nothing but a dry lecture about their doctrine. You say, well, how do they get in? Why do people follow them? Why do people do that? Because when they come to your door, they come with the idea that they have the truth to give to you. And if they don't give it to you, you're lost and can't get it. They come to your door with the idea that if you let them teach you, then you, my friend, will be in on the secret and learn the truth and be relieved from the apostasy and the false doctrine of the Christian churches. All Christian churches in the Jehovah's Witness eyes are false. I don't care if it's Catholic, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, or what, they're all lost and they're all wrong. Now, the Watchtower Society is published in New York, and there's a lot of things. You can just look at your paper. They are like the other groups that came out of the 1800s. They were interested in Zion, in the lost tribes of Israel. They were interested in prophecy, in the coming of the Lord, and what was going to happen. And it was started by Charles Taz Russell, and he fathered the Watchtower group in 1870 and founded Zion's Watchtower and Tract Society in 1884, published Zion's Watchtower and Herald of Christ's Presence in 1879, and stated that all the people go into darkness without the aid of his studies. The fact is, they published a whole set of books. If you did not study these, they think that's it. When he died, 1917, Joseph Franklin Rutherford, Judge Rutherford, took over. And it's amazing, Russell had the truth, the only truth that you have to be saved. But when Russell took over, he changed a lot of things. It's amazing how that can happen, isn't it? And he changed the name of the organization in 1931 from the International Bible Students to Jehovah's Witnesses. And if you will pay attention, they do not say Jesus or Christ or God. They say Jehovah. Always call him Jehovah. And then, of course, from 1942 to 77, Nathan Homer Knorr took over. And that's when they published their new translation of the Bible, which is no translation at all. This is it. This is the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures. They changed every time it said God and Jesus and Christ to Jehovah, and they changed every scripture that they felt disagreed with their doctrine to agree with it because they were sure that's what God gave them. So we have blind guides leading the blind. And of course, Frederick William Franz is the head of it now. It's governed by a board of governors, and this dude is at the head of it, and he's got all the words. Now, I have to tell you, they've not remained consistent throughout the years in what they believe. They've changed off and on through the years. And they prophesy, and their prophecies have not come to pass. They prophesied the end of the world in 1914, 1918, 1925, 1942, and the last time was 1975. If you pay attention to their prophecies, you'll find that Herbert Armstrong of the Worldwide Church of God says exactly the same things they said, and he predicted in 1975 that the world would end and that Christ would come. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times they've predicted the end of the world, and we're still here. 1975 was a while ago, 25, 35, 37 years ago. So what do you have to think about that? And fact is, it caused such a disturbance that more than 1 million Jehovah's Witnesses have left their church since 1975 because that prophecy did not come to pass. Now, in the 1920s, the Watchtowers built a palace, literally, in San Diego, California, that they called Beth Sharim, and it was for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to live in, whom they prophesied would resurrect from the dead in 1925. Well, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are not resurrected from the dead. Their spirits are still with God. Their bodies are still somewhere in the Middle East. And when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did not return from the dead, Judge Rutherford moved in the house himself in the palace and lived in it. Sound like it worked out pretty good for him, didn't it? False prophecies they've given. See, they're interested in the kingdom. That's what they're looking for, is the kingdom. 1916, they prophesied that World War I would end in a glorious outcome, the kingdom of God. They assumed that Armageddon was going to happen then, and the kingdom was going to be set up in 1916, and that would be the end of the war. And in 1920, they prophesied the resurrection of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In 1925, it did not happen. 1940, they said Armageddon is very near. 1941, they said it is surely near. 1968, they prophesied that the 1,000 years reign of Christ is to start in the fall of 1975. So we're in the kingdom. Hadn't you noticed? Satan's been bound. Had you noticed that Satan's bound in the bottomless pit? If Satan's in the bottomless pit, then we're in hell. Right? Because we're where Satan's at. But they prophesied in the fall of 1975 that the 1,000 years reign of Jesus Christ would start. Well, that's been 37 years ago, and nothing's happened. So you have to say, what do Jehovah's Witness people think when they look at this? They don't look at it. When people are in a cult, their eyes are focused on being in it and being part of it, and they don't look at it. If the blind lead the blind, what happens? They both fall in the ditch together. Amen. They publish Watchtower magazine, started in 1879. They published the Awake magazines, current interest stuff. And by the way, I see these in doctor's offices and places. See them laying around on tables and stuff in doctor's offices. They published the New World Translation of the Bible, starting in 1950. And it changes the scriptures to support witness theology. The major doctrines of the Jehovah's Witnesses is that, number one, their church, the Watchtower, is God's only true church. That's the only true church in the world. All the rest of us are false. And I don't care who you're talking about, Mormons, Presbyterians, whoever, we're all false. They say that the Bible can only be understood by Jehovah's Witnesses. No one else can actually understand the Scriptures because we're all blind. They're the only ones that have the light. This is what Satan came telling Eve. I'm going to make you smart. This is what they come telling people. The Jesus Christ of the Bible, you better be glad you're sitting down on this one, is only a created being originally known as Michael the Archangel. They do not believe Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Believe he was created in some times past as Michael the Archangel. Jesus is a God, small letters. He was created, but he is not God the Son. Jesus was not put to death on a cross, but died on a stake in the ground. They don't believe in the cross. They have no crosses in their churches, no crosses on their jewelry. They use no crosses anywhere because they don't believe Jesus died on a cross. They say that's a lie that we all made up. They don't believe there's any such person as the Holy Spirit. They don't believe that. They say that's God's force in the world doing what he's supposed to do, but they don't believe there is such a person as the Holy Spirit. Salvation, they believe, comes only through being a Jehovah's Witness and doing all that the Watchtower asks you to do. That's the only way you can attain salvation, is by obeying this latter-day revelation that they've come to believe. And I have to say, this next one disappoints me. Only 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses will go to heaven and no one else. None of you guys are going to heaven unless you become Jehovah's Witnesses. None of us. Nobody. Not Billy Graham. Not the Pope, not Mother Teresa, not anybody is going to heaven unless they become a Jehovah's Witness. And only 144,000 of them will go. And I've decided that, you know, there's 7 million Jehovah's Witnesses in the world right now, so I don't have a chance. The truth is, they don't believe they've reached 144,000 yet. They believe they've got 7,000 or 8,000 more people that have to qualify themselves to be good enough to get to heaven. Those are the only people that are ever going to heaven, no one else. Now, if you should hear their message and not become a Jehovah's Witness, then God will destroy you and your children in the coming Armageddon. If they come to your door, for goodness sakes, don't open the door, because if you listen to them and reject it, you're going to be burned up when Armageddon comes. They do not believe in the Trinity, nor oneness either, because oneness people actually believe in the Trinity, they just don't know it. Well, it's the truth. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And they are simultaneously God all at the same time. And they don't believe any of that. They don't believe the Holy Spirit has a personality. They don't believe Jesus Christ is divine. Get this, they don't believe Jesus Christ bodily resurrected from the dead. They think His Spirit came out of the grave after being dead 3 days. And by the way, being dead is being non-existent to them. And they said after 3 days, He came out of the grave and God gave Him back His job as the Archangel Michael, but He gave Him a new body afterwards just to appear in for a little while, but now He's a spirit being. They do not believe in a visible second coming of Jesus Christ. They're not looking for Jesus to come again. Fact is, that's already happened. Several years ago, Jesus already came back and set up His kingdom in 1975. So He's not coming back. They do not believe in torment in hell. They do not believe in hell at all. They say that's a figment of our imagination. They do not believe man has an eternal soul. They believe when you die, you're dead. Period. And the only people that are going to be resurrected are Jehovah's Witnesses, people who are qualified. Everybody else is just going to keep being dead. When you die, you're dead. You don't have a spirit. You have a body here on earth. You do not have a spirit separate from it. And they believe if I drop over here dead, that's the end of me. There's nothing else to me until the resurrection. And since I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, I'm not going to be resurrected. That's going to be the end of it. No burning hell, no heaven, no nothing. That's just the end of it. That's their belief. And they deny heavenly home for all believers because only 144,000 are going to get to heaven. They reject blood transfusions. They see blood transfusions being the same as eating the blood. You shall not eat flesh with the blood in it, the scripture said. And they die rather than have a blood transfusion. Now, they've modified that a little bit, because we now have synthetic blood, and they will take that because it's not the blood out of somebody's body. But they will die. I had some people come to me and said, "Can you talk to our mama?" I said, "What's wrong?" Said, "Well, she's a Jehovah's Witness, and if she don't get a blood transfusion, she's going to die. And she's the sweetest little lady you ever wanted to know." And I went and talked to her, and she said, "Jehovah will take care of me. And if He doesn't see fit to leave me here, I won't transgress." And she finally did get, down at Duke University, some synthetic blood, and it saved her life. They do not allow you to celebrate Christmas, Easter, birthdays, or any other holidays. And they reject all human government. Now, we'll talk about that in just a minute, what it means, as we continue through the highlights of beliefs of Jehovah's Witnesses. They're governed by what they call, from Matthew 24:45, the faithful and discreet slave. And these 10 to 15 men that are Jehovah's Witness direct the Watchtower Society. By the way, they got the inside track with God. God tells them what to do. And if you don't do what they say do, you're going to be lost. To be lost means you'll die and have no resurrection. They disfellowship you. Most Christian groups have some form of discipline. If you get in church and act like a I don't know what, you can be disciplined. In most churches, you'd be denied voting rights. You'd be denied the power to even sit in the congregation if you disrupt it. But they disfellowship in the worst way, because if the elders say that you have done something that's worthy of being disfellowshipped, like extramarital sex, using alcohol excessively, using tobacco products, celebrating Christmas, reciting the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, lying, stealing, joining the military, speaking to a disfellowshipped witness, reading religious material not published by the governing body, or running for political office, you could be disfellowshipped for all of that. You know what that means? That means they're not going to speak to you. You have to sit in the back seat of the church till they tell you you can be brought into the fellowship again. You come and go in the Kingdom Hall and they will not speak to you. They will not have anything to do with you till you earn your way back in. A member guilty of breaking a minor rule of the association is marked. Scripture said mark them, so they do. And that means that other Jehovah's Witness may only speak to you when you're in the Kingdom Hall. If they meet you out in the street, they can't speak to you. And they can't associate with you or go out and eat dinner with you or anything. They just completely disfellowship you. Here again, they're not allowed to accept blood transfusions for themselves or their children, believing this is the same as eating blood. And as I told you, many of them have died because of it. And they've modified this a little bit, but not much. They're not allowed to salute the flag of any nation, recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, stand up and or sing the national anthem, run for public office. They're not allowed to vote or serve in the armed forces. They're just separate and apart from the world. They're not allowed to celebrate any holidays. They all have pagan roots, they say. It's sad. Jehovah's Witnesses are not allowed to associate with non-witnesses, including family. Exceptions are made if non-witness family members is living in the same household. So I don't know how you would ever win anybody. They do not believe in the Trinity. They follow a strict monotheism. Jehovah is the supreme being. Jesus is the Son of God, a created being. Christ is believed to have originally existed in a pre-human state as the Archangel Michael. He later took on human form like any other person, except that he was sinless at birth and remained so through his earthly life. Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. They believe that after the crucifixion, Christ died and was resurrected as an invisible, non-material, glorious spirit creature. They believe that Jesus appeared on earth after his resurrection in a special body that Jehovah had created for him. The Holy Spirit, they believe, is not a separate entity, but is simply a force, the method which God interacts with the world. So they don't believe in oneness or Trinity. They just don't see any of it. They believe that a person is a soul, doesn't have a soul, and when a person dies, nothing lives on. The person is dead and conscious of nothing. You die today, that's the end of you. No different in you than the dog. When the time comes to resurrect them from the dead, he will create a new body for them from his memory. God can remember what you look like, so he'll create you a new body. He's not going to resurrect your old body. He's going to create a new body for you and bring you back as the person you were. I used to hear old people talk about the Jehovah's Witness, and they called them the no-hellers. You ever hear them call that? The no-hellers. I saw one writer writing about this, and it said, "Hell no, we don't go." You say, why would you say that? They deny the existence of hell. They don't believe there is a hell. Satan is regarded to have created the concept of hellfire in order to turn people against God. They believe that hell is the common grave of all mankind where people go when they die. The grave is hell, in other words. They are not conscious there. Unbelievers simply cease to exist at death. Believers remain in death until the resurrection. Now, when the resurrection comes, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, I don't know what happened to all the people from a time right after Christ until Mr. Russell got his revelation in 1870. I don't know what happened to all those Christians. I mean, that's a broad brush I can't paint with. I'm not going to say John Wesley and all of his followers went to hell and Martin Luther and all of his followers went to hell and all those people. I'm not about to say that at all about anybody, for that matter. And the heavenly kingdom, I think I told you, took effect in 1914 with the invisible enthronement of Christ as king. Christ was crowned king in 1914, so you don't need to look forward to that. A little flock of anointed class of about 135,300 people currently occupies it. All were selected after Christ's ascension into heaven at Pentecost and during subsequent centuries. The selection of the full complement of 144,000 was completed in 1935. Some 8,700 are still living on the earth. They will spend eternity as spirit creatures in heaven with God and Christ and will rule over Jehovah's Witnesses who remain on earth. By the way, that's the only people that's going to be here. The Jehovah's Witnesses who did not get to heaven are going to live on this earth and turn it into a paradise again. And those spending eternity on earth are what Jehovah's Witnesses call the great crowd or other sheep. They say grace, but they do not believe in salvation by grace. They believe that only Jehovah's Witnesses in good standing who are obeying all that they have can do that. They do not believe Jesus was crucified on a cross. No matter what you say the Bible says, they do not believe Jesus was crucified on a cross. They believe he was impaled on a stake, one pole up in the ground. He was tied to it and tortured on the stake and not with no crossbeam. They view the cross as an idol, and wearing or displaying one is considered idol worship. They have a lot of things back in the Old Testament that they hark back to. Sooner or later, when you meet a witness, he's going to tell you, and I got a whole, I didn't print this out, but I got a whole packet of scriptures where they have changed the name of God to Jehovah. Now, it's kind of sad because, and they admit this, but they say that this is what God wants them to do. The actual name of God that should be pronounced is Yahweh. Almost all Bible scholars know that. And some people have gone off of the deep end on that. Instead of baptizing in the name of Jesus, or even the Father and Son, the Holy Ghost, they've gone to baptizing in the name of Yahweh. I was very sad, Bishop Officer, who came here and got 50-some people one Sunday to be baptized in the name Jesus, went and got rebaptized himself in the name of Yahweh and preached baptism in the name of Yahweh. They're just big on Jehovah. They say that's the name that God has chosen to use, the name that God wants them to use, and so they do. Now, that's sort of an overview of who Jehovah's Witnesses are, and you will understand while I read the scripture that said, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. They come to the door with the idea that you don't know the truth, but I'm here to tell you the truth. And if you don't take it, you're gone. They don't say to hell with you because they don't believe that. They just believe you die and you're gone. There's nothing to you. You disappear forever. That's kind of sad. You see, they would never sing In the City Where the Lamb is the Light. They'd never sing When We All Get to Heaven, because we all are not going to get to heaven. They would never sing any of those precious songs that we sing. And like I say, their hymn book is not anything in it that you would know. And if you read this scripture, and that's why our, and I've told you this story before, that's why our bylaws say that if we have a question of doctrine or to know what's going on, that we will only accept the King James Version of the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't believe there are good translations, and I don't believe in paraphrases of the Bible, which is what the Living Bible is. That's somebody's idea of what it should say. But I believe in translations, good translation into modern English. There's nothing wrong with that. Why does our bylaws say that we have to use the King James Version? I'll tell you why. Because if we just say the Bible, then how do I know somebody's not going to bring this? How do I know somebody's not going to bring the Mormon Bible, which has also been changed? They say they have a revelation of where they made mistakes, and they've changed it to suit the revelation. So we say the King James Version of the Bible so that we know what everybody's going to be reading out of and what everybody's going to have. I was down at the old church one day, and there was a pretty little Bible on the front seat about this size, but it was a child's Bible and had a picture of Jesus on the front with the children. And it went all the way around, wrapped all the way around. And I thought, well, what a pretty little Bible. And I picked it up, and I thought, this is really a nice little child's Bible laying on the front seat of the church down there. And I picked it up and looked in it, and it was the New World Edition. That's the Jehovah's Witness Bible. So any Bible, we can't just say any Bible. You say, how would you feel if they brought a Catholic Bible? Well, I wouldn't feel too bad about that. It reads like ours. The translation, the words some places differ, but they haven't messed with the Bible. The Mormons used to tell me, they'd say, well, you can't trust the Bible. You've got to have revelation. I said, why can't you trust the Bible? I said, well, them Catholics, they messed with the Bible. Well, them Catholics, they did not mess with the Bible. They did not. Jerome translated the Bible into the Latin Vulgate, and it is a superior and good translation. And the Vulgate is translated into the, and I don't know if I'll pronounce it correctly or not, Douay edition of the Scripture. You can read it. It would be fine. It would not really change anything except some of the hidden books of the Bible that we don't accept as Protestants are in the Catholic Bible, like Bel and the Dragon, the Three Maccabees, and some of those others, Esdras and Enoch. Some of those books are in there that we don't have in our scripture. But other than that, even our old Protestant Bibles used to have a special section in them. And maybe you've seen one of our old Protestant Bibles that have a special section in them that have those books compartmented off by themselves. And in fact, over the years, there have been a few times I've heard people get up and testify and quote from those books. And I don't know how many people sitting in the congregation were aware they were quoting from those books, but I was. You say, what'd you say? I didn't say anything. It wasn't up to me to say something. Are there any questions about Jehovah's Witnesses? Should you let them in your house and have a great big scriptural discussion with them? Not really. Let me ask you this. Is what I've described to you tonight a different gospel than what you've been taught and believe? I'd say. Between Methodist and Baptist and Presbyterian and Pentecostal, Episcopalian, Lutherans, when it gets right down to the nitty-gritty of the gospel, what we believe, actually there's not a whole bunch of difference. But when you come to Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, there's a whole bunch of difference. I mean, the difference is dramatic. It's not the same gospel. So if any man comes to your house bringing any other gospel save that which is preached already to you, do not receive him into your house, Paul says, or what? Bid him Godspeed. We went to get rid of the house that was here that Sister Effie lived in. I was amazed to find a number of watchtowers in her house. And I thought, where in the world did Granny ever get those watchtowers? I discovered that a Jehovah's Witness preacher, who used to go to our church when he was a little boy, had come by and left them with her. And he told me one day, said, I left Sister Effie some watchtowers. Well, she never read them. She just pitched them in the place where the books were. One of those things. So, next week, we're going to talk about the Church of Christ scientist. The Church of Christ scientist. Yes. Michael the Archangel, who was created, he is not the begotten Son of God. Now, that's as opposite from the Mormons as could be, because the Mormons believe that God physically came down and fathered Jesus Christ in the Virgin Mary. So she really wasn't the Virgin Mary. God had a physical body and came down, had physical intercourse with Mary, and caused her to conceive and bear Christ. That's the very opposite of what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe, that they believe that God created Christ as Michael the Archangel. We used to come home from church when we lived where Doug lives, and every Sunday, about 12:30, when we sat down to eat Sunday dinner with the kids, there'd be a knock on the front door. It was Mr. and Ms. Warner from Nairs and the Jehovah's Witnesses. And they would be standing there, and I would be polite, but never open the door every Sunday. And finally, one Sunday, I said, "You are good people, and you're good neighbors, and I don't want to be offensive, but don't come back. Because we're not going to become Jehovah's Witnesses." Of course, I'm damned already, aren't I? And I said, "We're not going to become Jehovah's Witnesses. And every Sunday you come right when we eat Sunday dinner." I tried so hard to be polite because I like those people. Well, maybe that was the whole thing. They came one Sunday and smelled the dinner and thought they'd keep coming back. That's right. They can't socialize with anyone other than a witness. Yes, Andy? Well, because you're going to be resurrected and live here on the new earth in the paradise that God has, the kingdom. Well, yeah, only 144,000 going to heaven, but all the other Jehovah's Witnesses that are resurrected will live here on this earth and have babies. And that's right. They'll be the terrestrial people. I have no idea. I mean, never mind what John said about he saw a number that no man can number. Never mind that he said there'd be thousands upon thousands praising him there yet. Well, I think he's talking about Jews in the tribulation. And the other thing is, 144,000 is a perfect number. It's 12 times 12. 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles. It's a perfect number. And it may not represent a literal number at all. It may represent a perfected number of people. I'm convinced I can leave that in the hands of our Heavenly Father and it'll be fine. We can always say God knows. But you see, their whole thing is prophecy, looking toward the coming of the Lord and the end of time. And they fully expected the end of time to come around the turn of the century, 1900. And when World War I broke out and all hell was breaking loose out all over the country, they assumed this was the harbinger of Armageddon. And I've heard Herbert Armstrong talk about all of the, when the Archduke of Serbia was murdered, you know, that's what started the whole thing. All of the monarchs and heads of European governments came. That's when they wore all the plumes and the sashes and the garters and the medallions and everything, and he said it was the beginning of the end. And in the end, Herbert Armstrong believed Jesus was coming in 1975 and said so. I saw his book, said 1975 in prophecy. He didn't come. And when he comes, he won't send a notice to the Watchtower Society to let us know. Yeah. I mean, to them, all other church besides theirs is foolish. And like I say, don't worry, they're not going to fall out in the spirit. They're not even going to raise their hands. They're not going to raise their voices. It's going to be one of those lectures like on Peanuts. Wah, 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 wah. It is. I've listened to their lectures. If I have to interact with witnesses in society, and I do, I'm very polite. I have made myself a promise not to persecute or belittle anyone else. I have been persecuted and belittled, and I know how it feels. Especially their children and young people, I'm not going to do that to. Now, if they engage me in a conversation, I'm not going to back up. But they're not going to do that. Just like the fellows I told you about that came to see me over in the holler at the other house, they did not engage me in any kind of spiritual discussion because they didn't want to. But they would have liked to have engaged the members of the church. How many of you know somebody that's a Jehovah's Witness? Absolutely. Most of us do. We must be polite. We must be kind. We must let our light shine. And our kindness and our goodness and our light shining will be the best thing they can ever see. And besides, they lost 1 million members in 1975 because that prophecy didn't come to pass. I inclined to agree with them. I mean, that was, what, the 6th or 7th time they prophesied the end of time. Father, I thank you that we can study. I thank you, Father, that we can study with a good spirit and a good heart. And Father, I pray your Holy Spirit and your holy power will be with us. Bless us, and God, help us to be grounded in the truth. Help us to bury our faces and our hearts in the Word of God, that we'll be able to defend what we believe, that we'll be able to stand up for what is the truth. Father, we know we're not the only people that God has on earth. We know, Father, that there's truth in all men that seek the face of God. And Lord, we know that in many churches, while they may not know all that we know, we may not know all that they know. But Father, we know we seek the face of God honestly. And we pray that you'll bless our people. Father, that we will not be ignorant, but we'll be able to stand in what is the truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.